Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Folk. Tonight, we circle through the seasons and around the pagan wheel of the year. This is Selena Fox, and I invite you to journey with me as we explore pagan Sabbats, holidays, celebrating the cycle of seasons and sun. Eight Sabbats make up the contemporary pagan sacred calendar. Pagans of many paths celebrate these holidays. Tonight we're going to take a look at some of the ways these holidays have been celebrated in the past, some ways that you can create your own personal, household, small group, and community celebrations, and some ways of being able to connect at these special times with celebrations that are taking place around the pagan world. The Wheel of the Year consists of the beginnings and the midpoints of each of the four seasons. Many traditions begin their calendar, their spiritual new year, with Samhain, which takes place in late October and early November. Some traditions focus on starting their Wheel of the Year at Yuletide, also known as winter solstice. Still others will celebrate with the beginning of spring. And if you look at the calendar that's in use across secular society, there are some that start their calendar year and their spiritual year with Imbolc, also known as Candlemas, at the beginning of February. Whenever you start your calendar, one of the things that is important to do is be aware of what is happening in the environment where you are celebrating the seasonal holiday. Environment is a really important factor. The purpose of celebrating the Sabbats is to be in tune with the rhythms of nature. And by attuning to the four seasons and their midpoints, these Sabbats occurring every 6.5 to 7 weeks, you create a rhythm in your spiritual life that also can enhance your secular life, your life with the larger society and world of which we are a part, which consists of people celebrating a variety of religious and secular holidays. I'd like to talk a bit about the Wheel of the Year as a whole, and then take a look at some of the traditions and customs associated with each of the eight holidays. Beginning with Samhain, late October, early November, the spiritual new year for a variety of Wiccan traditions, some Celtic and Druidic traditions, and some general pagan traditions. It is at the height of autumn. It is a time for saying farewell to the old year and inviting in guidance for the new year coming. Tonight, for simplicity's sake, I'll be using the Northern Hemisphere date association with each of the holidays. And in the Northern Hemisphere, Samhain is celebrated on October 31st, or for those celebrating it over several days and nights, late October, early November. But in the Southern Hemisphere, Samhain will be celebrated 6 months later, in late April and the beginning of May. Some will celebrate the start of the year with Samhain, especially those who have strong Celtic influences, because the Celts started celebrating their year going into the darkest time. In ancient times, Celtic peoples had two main holidays, that of Samhain and Beltane, 6 months later. Later, Imbolc at the beginning of February and Lunasa at the beginning of August were added. And still later, with the influences of other people, other holidays started being woven into the mix. Those pagans with Germanic roots, Scandinavian roots, celebrated solstices and equinoxes, which are the start of each of the four seasons. And today, contemporary paganism, the Wiccan religion, and a variety of nature-centered spiritual paths combine the start points and the midpoints of the four seasons into this wheel of the year. Some things to consider as you plan celebrations include: what day or days will you be focusing your holiday celebrations on? In ancient times, these holidays went on for several days and several nights. Back in times that were giving greater emphasis to agricultural cycles, and when harvesting and planting and other agricultural activities were part of the seasonal celebrations and observances, the exact day of a particular holiday may very well have been set according to what was happening with agricultural activities, Samhain being the last of the harvest has been taken in, and waiting until that harvest had been taken in before doing the Samhain observance. Others say that in ancient times, some of these ancient Sabbaths were actually celebrated in connection with the nearest full moon. And there are some contemporary pagan traditions that keep alive this custom. Over hundreds and hundreds of years, the calendar that's in widespread use in America today, our annual calendar, is really the result of a number of calendar systems. The Julian calendar that was brought into existence by Julius Caesar was used by many people for generations. Then the calendar went through more changes, and it was determined that some additional days needed to be added to the calendar because of rectifying it with leap year, for example. So what we have today as an annual calendar is one that has months of different lengths and has names that date back to ancient Roman times, and a calendar that has undergone innovation. As we look at the seasonal holidays, these Sabbaths, and looking at the Northern Hemisphere, we will see the start of spring equinox, a festival also known as Ostara, coinciding on or around March 21st. Depending on the astronomical calendar. And then summer solstice is on and around June 21st, with Beltane being at the midpoint. However, because of calendar changes, Beltane began being celebrated on the 30th of April and the 1st of May. But the actual midpoint is actually closer to May 5th. And there are some groups that will actually celebrate Beltane at that more exact midpoint between the actual point of spring equinox and the point of summer solstice. And that's the same with the other midpoint, mid-season holidays, which some call the Celtic Fire Festivals. Are you going to celebrate the Sabbath on one day and night? Or are you going to have a series of celebrations? In my own practice, I have a series of celebrations, and part of my celebration of each Sabbath begins a couple weeks before the actual time on the annual calendar. I will start by changing decor in my house. I put away the decorations from the Sabbath that has passed. I clean the areas where I've had the decorations. I change my main altar in my house to reflect the seasonal changes. I typically do some form of house blessing as I turn the wheel of the year and prepare for the coming Sabbath. I start doing that work a couple weeks at least before the actual Sabbath comes to be. That gives time to reflect on the turning of the wheel and allows the energy of celebrating that Sabbath to build as additional things are added to my home, different decorations are put up. And during the warmer months of the year, during the growing season, part of what I do is to be outside in the gardens, in the fields, in the forest, and looking for natural objects that I can carry in and add to the beauty of altars and other places that I decorate for the season. Then, during the time around the actual Sabbath date, I will have a series of actual rituals and meditations. In a way, the decorating that I do for a couple weeks before that week arrives is a kind of ritual in itself. But I begin with meditations, invocations, attuning myself to the season as part of personal spiritual practice. I help facilitate group activities for each of the Sabbaths. I facilitate a full moon circle every month, and sometimes those full moon circles are occurring close to a Sabbath time and incorporated in the lunar celebration are the solar celebrations of the Sabbath, using some of the imagery and using the moon time as a time for meditating and connecting. At the Sabbath time, I also take part and help with our Circle Sanctuary Sabbath festivals. Some of these festivals are a day-long event. Some, especially with the Celtic fire festivals, are multiple days. And our biggest festival of them all is the summer solstice gathering, which goes on for a week, and that we have it at a campground where we can accommodate a lot more people. So I have personal practice, household practice, small group practice, and large community practice. And another dimension for celebration is that celebrating with pagans the world over, who are also celebrating the Wheel of the Year wherever they are. When I do large group rituals, I typically acknowledge that in some invocation or meditation that I lead, and in my work in cyberspace, I tend to put at least one post up in which I acknowledge not only the name of the festival that I am celebrating in the area where I'm at, but recognizing that the Southern Hemisphere is celebrating at this time as well, but the other 6 months later in the wheel. So thinking about what is the day or dates that you're going to be having your celebration? Is it on the traditional date for each of these holidays? Is it going to be a Saturday closest or a full moon closest? Who will you be having celebrate with you? And what are the traditions they come from? And what are they used to doing in celebrating the Sabbaths? So the timing is a key factor in building your Wheel of the Year. And certainly one approach is to do this organically as each festival approaches. But what I think is really helpful is to take the approach each year, whenever your spiritual year starts, and to map out in your planner, on your wall calendar, or however you track the passing of time, what day or dates you're going to set aside for the celebration of the Sabbath and to mark that down. To reserve space, to make space for you to be able to do personal practice, and if you're part of a group, to incorporate that. If there are others in your household, to find something that you might do on or near that Sabbath. And being aware of what other kinds of options might be available around those holiday times. So looking at the calendar, the secular calendar, and going through the Sabbaths that way, I'd like to share with you the day or dates that are often called traditional. So Imbolc, also known as Candlemas, Bridget's Day, Omelek, it, or Groundhog's Day is the secular correlate of this, January 31st, February 1st, February 2nd, or early part of February. February 2nd has been a day associated with this festival since ancient times, but with the rise of Christianity and its intertwining amongst Celtic peoples in Ireland and some other places, the feast day of St. Bridget has been adopted by some contemporary pagan groups who will use February 1st rather than February 2nd, or will use January 31st. For myself, I celebrate it over the course of all of those days and continue a bit into February. Spring equinox is also known as Ostara, and Easter gets its name from this holiday. We call it Welcome Spring at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve because we're up in Wisconsin, and we often will get some snow in March yet. And the actual date of spring equinox will vary a bit from year to year. So you need a calendar that really charts the actual time of spring equinox. But typically it's around the 21st of March. Beltane is typically celebrated on April 30th and May 1st. Walpurgis Night is, or May Eve is the April 30th. May 1st, May Day, is the other dimension. And one of the old traditions was the stay up all night, which is how that particular holiday ends up with 2 days connected with it traditionally. Then summer solstice, as with equinoxes and the other solstice, it's according to when the sun enters the sign and has the point of solstice. It's typically around June 21st. Some people will celebrate it June 23rd, which in the Middle Ages was called St. John's Day. Some pagans call this holiday Litha, and others will call it Midsummer. You might wonder, why does it have a traditional name of Midsummer when it's the actual start of solstice? That really harkens back to a time when Beltane and Samhain marked the two halves of the year. And so solstice was seen as being in the middle of the summer time of the year and got that name. Lammas or Lunasa, August 1st, August 2nd, but some will celebrate that holiday in late July, and others will continue it on into the first part of August. Fall equinox on and near September 21st, and that's also known as Mabon, and some know it by the medieval name Michaelmas. And then Samhain, as mentioned earlier, October 31st, November 1st, and some will celebrate it November 5th or 6th because it's more the midpoint between fall equinox and winter solstice. Most pagans call it Samhain. In secular life, it's known as Halloween, All Hallows' Eve. After Europe became Christianized, this holiday, November 1st and November 2nd, became All Saints and All Souls Day. For those who have Mexican heritage, some other Latin heritage, may call this holiday the Day of the Dead or the Days of the Dead. And then rounding out the calendar year is Yule or winter solstice. And certainly Christmas, both the religious Christmas and the secular Christmas, got set at the Yuletide because it was already being celebrated. There's solar and secular New Year, all connected with Yule, and our actual secular calendar is really on a solar cycle where the new solar year, as well as the new calendar year, begins with January. Amongst the ancient Romans, Saturnalia lasted several days and several nights and even a week or longer. And the winter solstice customs that date back to ancient times have continued to get woven into not only contemporary pagan celebrations, but the secular and Christian religious celebrations that are happening the world over. So that gives an overview of some of the timing connected with these holidays. Another thing to consider in planning your wheel of the year and creating personal, household, group, community, and large celebrations of the Sabbats. What is the mythic cycle that you are going to be using that connects each of the eight holidays together? There are some traditions that work with the divine as a goddess and a god. And for each of these holidays will have a different aspect. So Imhotep, for example, would be the goddess as maiden, often depicted with a crown of candles of light. Imhotep is a time when it is clear that the days are lengthening. It is the festival of lights. It's the festival of waxing lights. The god form sometimes takes the form of a young sun, S-U-N. Some who incorporate secular observances and folk holidays, such as Groundhog's Day, will actually consider the groundhog as a manifestation of the god in nature, or some other hibernating animal that's starting to emerge. Spring equinox has another form of the goddess as maiden, Kori. The god may be in the form of the green man, the resurrected god. Some who use the old legends of the goddess and her partner, the hare, will see the hare, who's in contemporary times known as the Easter Bunny, as a form of the male principle. At Beltane, the May Queen and the May King are personifications of the goddess and god of flowering life. The May Queen may take the form of a mother figure with a big flower crown. The May King typically has greenery in his hair. Sometimes he'll have the green mother and the green father. Jack in the Green is another form that the god form might take for Beltane. At summer solstice, you will have the god form as a...
And unfortunately, it looks like Selena just got dropped off the call. She's been having phone issues lately. So this is Dave Ewing and Jeanette Ewing here. We're going to fill in a little bit until Selena gets called back in and continues her discussion about the seasons of the Wheel of the Year. And she was talking about spring goddesses. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we will briefly continue with talking about spring goddesses and the maiden goddesses. Selene was talking about goddess in her maiden form, and at the spring equinox, there can be a number of different, or Ostara, there's certainly a number of different goddesses. Ostara is also a Germanic goddess. There are roots of a Germanic goddess who is in her maiden form as she is welcoming spring.
All right, she's back.
Yay, Selene's back.
Well, talk about kind of synchronicity. So as I'm talking, I was talk about the Father God of summer solstice, and we're in the middle of a thunderstorm, and it's February. What is going on here? That's a good question. And we might have a little tonight. So we have the May Queen, May King. We have depicted in a variety of ways. We have Mother Nature, Mother Earth, Father Sky. Father, Son, we're definitely into a, and in like fashion, NASA in the beginning of August, have lots of great Demeter series. We also have goddesses, other such as Corn Mother. Corn in Americas as maize, and corn in the UK, and parts of actually or grain or barley. And God, you not only have Lou from the Celts, but you have the grain god. You have just when you go into of Mother Nature,
okay, so we're contending with nature tonight on Nature Folk, as Selena is being challenged by the forces of weather are impeding and messing with her abilities to communicate. So it looks like she's called back in again, so let's get her back in here. Hello.
Well, Thank you for bearing with me. I guess we are having an opportunity to go around the wheel of the year in a variety of different weather conditions right now. So not knowing when my phone has, I'm going back and forth between two different phone systems, and hopefully one of these will stay stable so I can continue on. So when we look at fall equinox, here we have the god and goddess of abundance. So they are moving into their more mature form, and by the time we get to Samhain, we have Hunter, and we have
wow, so she's really dealing with some weather issues there in the hills of south central Wisconsin. So looks like she got dropped again by the weather. So we'll keep going here to talk about gods now.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about, she was just talking about gods of the fall equinox.
Yep.
So I know that she was breaking apart a bit between the discussion regarding summer solstice and then moving into Lammas / Lunasa. So
okay.
We are back again. And so let's do a recap. We're going to do a little bit of a recap here. So you talked about father gods and sun gods with the summer solstice.
Correct.
Okay,
and then as we move through the year, essentially, in some traditions, the god and the goddess mature together, and that's one cycle. So you have, you know, gods and goddesses of abundance and harvest as you go into the three, which are Lunasa, beginning of August, and equinox, which is the pagan Thanksgiving, many people Samhain, the last of them. And at Samhain, you have, in some traditions, as a horned god, the god of animals, of the woods, the god and the goddess of the dead. But these aren't seen as malevolent. Seen as part of the whole cycle of nature. And then when you come to winter, you will have the great to the sun number of traditions. And you'll have the great mother known by many names, and certainly within Christianity you have the motif Jesus. But in ancient Egypt you have Astet, also known as Isis, and the sun. Pagan gods and goddesses were actually born at winter solstice, especially if they had some really strong solar connections. A myth example of a god form connected with, and just as we had summer solstice for winter solstice, you have okay. Some traditions, there's actually of the battle in Holly King, the oak representing the wax of the solar year, beginning at winter solstice, the summer solstice, where the oak king is at, and then the Holly King, as the solar year is waning, at our summer solstice, in our winter solstice, we have enactments of this change of power. There's a song, an old carol that we have sung at our winter solstice, someone depicting the oak battling with, and then together, and then if we were solstice, we just Middle Ages, some of these motifs were actually translated into street theater in the form of mummers' plays. At some festivals, to not only in England but some world, including even at Circle, we will have some people enact depictions. And in summer solstice, we have people doing the Aftern dance, where there's a variety of different characters that come from the mumming tradition. And people dance with some shed antlers, and they clip them together as part of the, and it's a way of connecting with the goth. So for Circle Sanctuary, the place where we have the most traditional and plays is actually our Beltane. And we have chorus troupe known as the Oak Apple Dancers from Madison, Wisconsin, that have been doing their Morris dance every year to help dance up the and bring in the warmth and to encouraging of nature around us. So certainly a boutique for the year whole is one approach. Some have the goddess force throughout her, and the god is one, moving from Sabbath to Sabbath, old and then being reborn. We'll have the goddess thing, the growing time of the year from till Samhain, and then God taking on from to Beltane. And some have a particular myth cycle from a particular pagan culture, from the which is woven into each of the eight Sabbaths. At first, bring together pagans from different paths and traditions. And we have a cultural approach to our holiday motifs and planning. And sometimes we will have a particular holiday focused primarily on motifs from a particular country, culture, or ethnicity. We will have one that is prominent, but other traditions in. Spring equinox, we may incorporate into this the Germanic goddess Ostara connected with this holiday. A lot is not. And what we have comes from a Christian monk that wrote down how the Saxons would celebrate at this time and talked about Ostara, and some traditions. So we might, one year we would focus primarily on Germanic celebration of spring. We may also incorporate some runes, heathen traditions. Other times, spring equinox is taken on a Greek, and we focused on Dionysus and the Eleusinian. I mean, in other cases, focused on any particular, we've used more such as, actually, they're part of our every year. Just so looking at, are you going to have each house have its own kind of flavor and style according to what you resonate with? Or are you going to follow a particular cycle with the holidays and stick to a particular pantheon and work with deities connected with that pantheon? So that's another piece to look at. We have different coordinators for each of our festivals throughout the Wheel of at Circle Sanctuary, and for that reason, we have quite a bit of. We do incorporate in our large community gatherings the opportunity for people, no matter what their particular spiritual, to have some things that they do together in the community and connect with each other. So we've taken a look at dates, some ways of characterizing how we connect with. And so something else that you may want to do is, how are you going to name the festivals? Are you going to go with the Celtic names? Are you going to go with common names? Are you going to tie correlates with the folk holidays that are happening in secular society? So going through calendar, your Kimmel, also known as Candlemas, in the secular world, it's looking for the first signs of spring. And yes, Lubricating Day are kind of woven into the mix. So actually, they came a couple weeks. So for spring equinox, the green, Patrick's Day, and actually incorporate that as part of their Ostara. Holidays connected with Easter. What's certain is, if I'm just.
Okay, well, Selena just got dropped off the phone again. She's got a really bad thunderstorm moving through her area right now, and it's affecting her cell phone and phone connectivity, living out in the wilds in the hills of south central Wisconsin. There's not a whole lot of infrastructure around to connect to, so they have to kind of, they're kind of at the mercy of Mother Nature. Looks like Selena's called back in. Here's, let's get it back in. Hello.
I am back once again. Well, I want to thank all of you who are listening live and those who will be listening later for bearing with us. Yes, I live in a forest. I love living in a forest. But as David just mentioned, we don't have really good infrastructure. The only way I'm even able to talk with you at this point is a booster on top of my house to boost my cell signal because my landline have now died, both of them. So, well, one thing I can say about celebrating the seasons, part of what's important is to pay attention to what is happening in the environment around you. Our Welcome Spring Festival, we call it Welcome Spring. We've named it that because sometimes we've had snow at our Welcome Spring Festival. We traditionally have an egg hunt every Welcome Spring. Well, the year we got a foot of snow, we moved the egg hunt indoors and in the lounge of the barn where we have our temple space, moved it into the unremodeled part of the barn, and that was kind of an interesting thing. Another year when we had some snow, we actually got a bunch of hay bales and created an area and put the hay on top of the snow and then put the eggs in the hay. Well, we have the egg hunt, and we call it our Ostara egg hunt because we found that it's a fun time for people of all ages. I see that our time grows short, so what I'd like to do now is talk a little bit more about the Wheel of the Year, and I do think that I will be doing another Wheel of the Year podcast in the future, in which I'll go into greater detail about some of the ways of celebrating and share some chants and some other things. I do want to share with you, while I still have Phone Connect, some resources. I've been doing an ever-growing, ever-expanding online guide to celebrating the season. So if you go to www.circlesanctuary.org and go under Teachings in the navigation bar, you will see a Wheel of the Year, the list of all eight Sabbaths. Click on the name, and it will take you to a page with some links to past podcasts, with some rituals, with some ideas for how to celebrate. So another way is to take a listen, not only to podcasts that I've done, but that David and Jeanette and Deborah Rose, all part of the Circle Radio team, have done over time. And we endeavor to celebrate the seasons right here on Circle Radio on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network. So I do some programs with Nature Folk and Circle Talk. Often we'll also have some celebrations of the season. Another really good resource for celebrating the seasons and getting an idea of some things that you can do personally and weave together in rituals with others is to do a Google search on the internet and take a look at what other people are doing for the holidays. One of the ways that I like to celebrate the seasons, not only as the Sabbath approaches, but during the height of the Sabbath, where I'm celebrating over several days and nights, is I will put some links not only to things I've written, but things that I've found out in cyberspace on my main Facebook page. And sometimes we also will put some links up at the Circle Sanctuary community Facebook page. I'm on Facebook, Selena Fox Updates, the Circle Sanctuary page is Circle Sanctuary Community. And we also have a group page called Circle Sanctuary Community, and that's another place where you can get some ideas and connect with others. I think it's important to start developing your own personal traditions for yourself and for your loved ones for each of these holidays, and to find a way that you track what you do from year to year and from Sabbath to Sabbath. So I invite you to consider doing your own kind of Sabbath guide. As you try out different rituals and meditations, you make a note of them. As you develop chants or learn chants, make a note of them. By tracking what you use for celebrations and being continuing to grow and evolve your Sabbaths, you keep them fresh, and it also deepens your understanding of the holiday. So as we move into the conclusion of this, and in summary, look at the locale for each of these Sabbaths, what's happening in Mother Nature. Look at the timing, what is going to be your principal day or days that you're going to celebrate. What name are you going to give to your celebration or celebration? Look at the spiritual framework that you are using, how you're connecting with the divine, and then be creative as you create altars, as you decorate your home and your sacred spaces, and track the different ideas that you've tried out and you've learned about. So in conclusion, I thank you all for journeying around the wheel with me and through all kinds of weather and cyber and digital connections. I invite you all to stay tuned for Circle Talk. We have a very special show coming up. And David and Jeanette, tell us what we have tonight.
Okay. Hi there. So David and Jeanette here. So tonight we have Mackenzie and Lips, who are joining us for discussion on raising children within the pagan path. So this is a show that we were going to do earlier this year, and there were some current event things that we needed to discuss and talk about on the program. So they got rescheduled, and we're going to have that conversation tonight. So we're looking forward to that.
Well, that's going to be, really fabulous, and I think that kind of follows with this, because I do think that it is important as you raise young ones that they have an opportunity to celebrate the Sabbaths. And one of the things we like to do is incorporate youth activities in our big community events. And some announcements now as we conclude. I give thanks to David and Jeanette and Deborah Rose. I want to give thanks for all your work week after week with our Circle Radio programs. And I want to give thanks to the Pagan Snipe Radio Network and Witch School International for their ongoing support. I want to give thanks to Casey, who helps us with our social media work for Circle Sanctuary, and all of those who are those of you who help share news about our shows each week. I do invite you, if you haven't done so already, to connect with Circle Sanctuary on the web, www.circlesanctuary.org. Every month we send out an email that gives information not only about projects we're doing, but gives a preview of some of our radio shows that are coming up and events that we have happening and events that Circle Sanctuary folks are taking part in around the country.
There were three men came out of the west, their fortunes for to try. And these three men made a solemn vow, John Barleycorn must die. They plowed, they sowed, they harrowed him in, throwing clods upon his head. And these three men made a solemn vow, John Barleycorn was dead. They let him lie for a very long time, till the rain from heaven did fall. Then little Sir John threw up his head, rip him skin from bone.
thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.